Amen. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. And we thank you for your goodness. And Lord, I pray you just certainly be our teacher this morning and that we can gain confidence from you that you are the sovereign Lord and you're over all things and we rest in you and have no fear in you. And so we thank you for that. So I pray that your word as it's spoken out this morning would go deep and touch each person's heart, Lord, and speak to them in a special way. And pray you to anoint me that I just speak words of the Spirit, and I thank you for that. That you would move in a powerful way, open each person's heart. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to look this morning at Psalms 46. So if your Bible or your device, turn to Psalms 46. We'll spend most of our time there. Psalms 46. So I'll read the first three verses here. Psalms 46, verses 1 through 3. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar in foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Now, this is really a great word for us today in these times of upheaval and uncertainty and fear. So this is a real good word for us to look at. And as we look at this section of Scripture, it's so interesting that by proclaiming the worst case scenario in the world, by this extreme what? Turmoil be the worst case scenario of the earth giving way, the mountains falling into the depths of the sea. So, you know, I don't think it could get much worse than that, all right? So he has this picture of even if the earth just gives away, even though the mountains fall into the sea, he goes, you shouldn't fear. You shouldn't fear. Says, we will not fear. We will not fear. And so in reality, as we look at that, if you put yourself in that picture of the mountains falling into the sea, I think, maybe that would scare me. Maybe that would make me afraid. He goes, no, why? You shouldn't fear. So we see that. Well, let's apply it to today. A lot of people are afraid today. They're fearful today. Well, it's just like the mountains falling into the sea. God says, don't be afraid. Don't fear. Don't fear. And so he's telling us about it, not to fear. And one of the things he's saying here, he's saying it's because God is a very present help in this time in trouble. When the mountains are falling in the sea and the earth is giving way, God is a very present help then. Therefore, today in all this stuff, God is a very present help. So as we believers know that. So he's telling us, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. What we're going through now is not any worse than the earth giving way and the mountains falling into the sea. It's not any worse, okay? And so we definitely have a message here. And it should be interesting that was the message, you know, Old Testament times. Nothing's changed. There's been one turmoil, one wreck, one bad event after another, all the way up to today. And if you look back, some of them have been way worse. And God's go, don't fear. Don't fear. He said, because I'm a very present help. Don't you like that? By the way, when you look, the Hebrew sometimes is not very specific, the language. But every word's there. A very present help. He's there. I mean, you can't get better than that. He's a very present help. So here is God with us in all the situations we go through. And so we don't have any reason to fear. Now, so he paints this picture. You have this picture. Turmoil. So, I mean, we could say, amen, he does a pretty good job of presenting turmoil in the first three verses, right? I mean, could you get worse than that? Because I think it's important to think about this is how he's introducing this. This is upside down turmoil. But he says, don't be afraid. God's a very present help. Now, look at the next verse. Look at the next verse, Psalms 46, verse 4. See, God is a very present help. Who is he very present help to? He's a very present help to the church. He's a very present help to believers. That's who he's a very present help to. And now he refers to the church and the believers in an Old Testament sense as the city of God. Is the city of God. So now you have this turmoil we all relate to. We see that. And then we have verse 4. However, that's my word. However, in this mess, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. Okay, here's the context. The mountains are falling into the sea. The earth is giving way. However, there's the city of God. Right in the middle of this chaos, there's the city of God. So we have the world in upheaval. And so surrounded by a world aflame, surrounded by a world aflame, is the people of God. You know, where did he put the people of God? In the middle of the mess. And so we have him in the middle of the mess, and we need not fear, but we have reason to be glad because God has made his dwelling with us. Now, this is important. You look at it. This is God's perspective. This is God's perspective. Our perspective, you know, is just like running around with our hair on fire. Okay, that's our perspective. God's perspective, he goes, wait a minute. Here's this mess. But I have the city of God, and there's streams of water that make glad this city of God in this mess. This is God's perspective of this. Now, see, as believers in this church, we have this information so we don't have to go through the same anxiety and angst as the whole world because we have this different view. If we embrace it and believe it, if it's just head knowledge, then we just run around with the rest of the world. You know, in fact, these terrible times can really expose people's true beliefs. It really can, you know, because it's like, oh my gosh, is this real? Is this real? And then we're going to behave based on what we believe. And this is an individual thing, individual thing. So here we have this picture, and again, I'm going to keep the context as the whole thing flows together. It's this mountains falling into the sea. Okay, the earth giving way. Now, I don't know what the earth giving way looks like, but I don't think that's good. I'm just thinking, you know, that kind of covers everything. And so, but that's the picture. And God goes, well, I'm going to come in. He says, no, I had the city of God right in the middle of it. There's waters of life in the city of God. Now, the Old Testament city of God is a type of the New Testament church. That's what he's talking about. It's a type of the New Testament church, which is a guarantee against chaos. I'll let you sit on that one for a while. The Old Testament city of God is a type of the New Testament church, which is a guarantee against chaos. Now you have the picture of everybody running around in extreme fear, worried out of their mind, and then in the middle of that chaos is a whole group that is not in chaos and is a picture of God's presence. So the city of God is a guarantee against worldwide chaos. I mean, this is the context of this Psalms. This is the context of this Psalms. Now, so the church is where the waters of life flow, where the waters of life flow. Now, Jesus, when he came, he declared this truth. He used the same principle when he declared this truth to the woman at the well, and he declared it later on in chapter 7 to John. But here he says in John 4:10, he says then to the lady, and he could be speaking to us, If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Now, where's the water flowing? It's in the city of God. What's in the city of God, or what is the city of God? It's the church. The living water. Where's the source of living water? It's out of Jesus. So you have this whole connection of stability, this whole connection of life, this whole connection of perspective coming from Jesus through believers, and represents the church. Represents the church. This is his plan A on how he works in chaos, in fear, and in uncertainty. The church is the stability. And I look around, I think, I'm seeing a bunch of the church is scared as the world. That's not the way it's supposed to be. Why? Because we're so much better? No, it's because God's the very present help. And we believe that he is a very present help. That's the only thing. It's our belief system. And difficult times expose our belief system. Just is. Just does. Now, so what we have here, believers make up the city. They represent the Old Testament temple, okay, which is the church. So you have the city of God, the temple, all that were type of things that represent the church and God's presence with us. And within the city, within the temple, within the church, living water, the Holy Spirit, flows in this city of God, the church. Y'all with me? Now you see, we're back in this psalm. Oh, the city of God, Old Testament. No, it's today. See, nothing's changed. Nothing's changed, okay? People haven't changed. You know, some buy in, some don't. You know, find out words are cheap. But your actions determine your belief system. Your belief system. So here we have that the city of God flowing of living waters, which Jesus talked about, and the flowing of living waters comes through believers, comes through the is the temple of God by the Holy Spirit. Look, if you will, at 1 Corinthians 3:16. Old Testament language. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you not know? Now see, now what is God telling us right there? What he's saying? Do you not know? He goes, you don't know. That's what he's saying, okay? Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? Now again, you've got the whole Bible, and the whole Bible presents God revealing himself and revealing the redemption of Christ. So he has this picture, and he has this city, Jerusalem, and he has this mountain, Mount Zion, and on this he built a temple. And in this temple, God said, this is where I'm going to meet with you. I'm going to dwell there, and I'm going to meet with you. Old Testament, we got that? Now, here we are today, and thanks to the Roman Empire, they leveled Jerusalem. They leveled the temple. It's gone. It's gone. Poor God. Poor God. He has nowhere to meet with us now. I bet he's in just great distress. Right? But no, this tells us something. He said, no, no, you're missing the point. That was a picture of where I would come down and take possession of and meet with the people and talk to them. But that's a picture of what I'm going to do with you individually. You see, you are God's temple, and you are where I come and indwell. You are the temple of God, and my water and my spirit flows through you. Amen? So here we are. We're the city of God. We're the temple of God. The flowing of living water is coming through the church, through the believer, and it is keeping stability in this world that is going crazy. We are the solid presence of God, showing the power of God. Amen. Amen. Now, newsflash. Newsflash. The gathering of the church is the safest place in the world. Why? God's there. I'm going to go meet with God. Oh, you better not. Oh, you better not go meet with God. No, no. I'm going to sing praises to Him. No, you better not do that. Because you know what happened to you. You know, this is bigger than God. You know, actions, words. Actions, words. Just right there. No, He says, I indwell you. I indwell the body. And this is the safest place in the world because this is where I am. Now, I'm going to just say this once, and I said it way back early in this, and it drove me crazy from the first moment I heard it. This is a church. It's not essential. The Bible says the church is preventing the chaos. The church is the source of stability. Therefore, who would want the church not to meet? Who? Satan himself. Satan himself. It's the most demonic thing ever spoken. The church is not essential. I just think there was kind of lightning in heaven. And God goes, you ain't seen nothing yet. See? And I mean, immediate when I heard that. It's like, uh-oh. So here we are. Now, so we continue in Psalms 46:5, and God continues to speak about the city of God, and He says in Psalms 46:5, the city of God's in verse 4, and now we have verse 5, God is in the midst of her. Who? City of God. The church. The believers. Don't go there. Don't go there. Because God's there. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. Who's the she? The church. God is in. She will not be moved. See, the church will outlast the USA. The church outlasted the Roman Empire. See, the church is here to stay. He is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when the morning dawns. When the morning dawns, I won't be connected with the church. Because that's what He's going to use. That's how He works through this world. I wish God would work through. No, wrong. He works through the church. That's His way. That's His way. And He's working with the things all around us, and He's working through us, but He's working through His church. So look at there. I mean, you can't hardly. It's the city of God. God is in the midst of her. You are the temple of the living God. He's in you. He's in you. See, that's the whole thing. You see it pulling together. Now, He's protecting the church, but He says, I'm protected, but I'm going to take care of the world also. I mean, He can do like, I mean, God can walk and chew gum at the same time. I mean, He does a lot of stuff at the same time, right? So He's going to protect the church, but remember, God is going to take care of the world. And God's voice that created the world, that same voice will dissolve the world. Well, how is He going to do that? He's going to speak. Done. See? Next verse. Psalms 46:6. The nations rage. I mean, we could just say, amen. The nations rage. The kingdoms totter. He utters His voice and the earth melts. I mean, there's your perspective. Oh, they're raging. Speaks, and it melts. Whoa, done there. We're done. We're done. I love Psalms 2, and it talks about the nations raging. Now, some of you, I'm going to test you. Do you know what it says God does in Psalms 2? He laughs. I mean, he just gets tickled. He goes, look at them. They ain't know nothing. He thinks it's humorous. We're here running around with our hair on fire, and he's tickled. You believe this? See, and all he has to do is utter a word. It dissolves. It melts. It's gone. It's gone. And in this mess, the human representation in which God has his eyes on and which he's working on is the church, is the believers. You see what I'm saying? Now, again, I can sit up here and say a lot, but my actions say what I really believe. Now we see this, and in all this mess, this is the reason God says what? He tells the church, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. He just said, don't be afraid. But you see why, don't you? He's a very present help in trouble. Just speak the word, it's gone. See? The church is where the water of life is flowing through. Flowing through. Don't be afraid. Now, the next verse is fascinating, which puts a big exclamation point behind this. Because it says in Psalms 46:7, the Lord of hosts is with us. That's the next verse. Who's us? Church. Who's with us? The Lord of hosts, the God of Jacob, our fortress. We need a fort. Okay. It's God. He's our fort. He's our fort. God, I can't see nothing. Well, yeah, you need to see in the spirit. He's our fort. He's our fort. And the Lord of hosts, now what's fascinating, that word, the Lord of hosts, that's one of the names of God, the Lord of hosts. It actually means the Lord of the army. Now, whose army is he talking about? He's talking about the heavenly army, which I assume will be all the angels and everybody else with him. So he is the Lord of hosts. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I speak the word of your mouth. By the way, I'm going to show up and all my army is coming. And that's how it stops here. The Lord of hosts, he's with us. God and his army is with us. And that's we see this. See, this is what he's showing us. The world's showing us this, but God's showing us this. And he's telling us something. And there's something really interesting. The terminology of how this is presented in the Hebrew, it comes out like this. God is for us and with us. That's what it means. He's for us and he's with us. I'm for you and I'm with you. You know what that means? It's like, I mean, I don't know how else to put it. We win. Don't be afraid. I'm a very present help. I'm for you. I'm with you. God and all his army. See? They are for us and with us. I mean, is that comforting or what? Now, again, what we're looking at is what God is telling us. Not what you hear on the news. Not what you hear on the news. See, nobody's proclaiming Jesus on the news. All right? Everybody on the news is as scared as anybody else. See, God has given us insight. He's giving us insight so we don't have to be frightened with the world. Is the news the source of stability? No, the news is the source of chaos. What's the source of stability, the guarantee against chaos? The church. Amen? I mean, that's what it says here. Now, so you may ask now, say, okay, I believe that, I buy in that. What do I do? What do I do? Well, guess what? Next verse, God tells us. Isn't that good? Here is a to-do. Here is absolute clear instruction. All right, you ready? Do this. Psalms 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. I am not CNN. I am not Fox. I am not a Democrat. I am not a Republican. I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Now, don't all these previous 9 verses make sense? See, he's coming down. We're the city of God. What do we do in the city of God? You know, we just got to go and get in the hunker down and just pray nothing happens. No, be still. Know that I am God. You're in good shape. I'm a very present help in trouble. See, that's what he's telling us. Be still. And some, well, I'm just going to be still. No, be still and know that I am God, because God is taking care of everything. And look what happens in that same verse when God takes care of everything. See? Because we are not afraid. Now, see, he's already said that. We're not afraid. So we're just trucking. We're a sign of stability. We're a sign of trust. We're being still and know that God is God. And then he says this, because this is what's going to happen. I will be exalted. Oh, I might be exalted. No, I will be exalted among the nations that are frightened and tottering and falling. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. So it's like, oh, you're going to do that? Yeah. Well, we're supposed to do, be still and know that I'm God. Isn't that relaxing? Just be still. You know, one of the things that could be, you know, one of the biggest witnesses and sometimes the biggest irritation to other people, you know, that are non-believers. I mean, they're just going crazy. They're scared to death. Or even those in the church going scared to death. You know what drives them crazy? How are you doing? Fine. I'm good. I mean, that's like a huge witness. Like, oh, wow. Oh, you idiot. But it's still a witness. One way or the other. And you, no. Why would you do that? Because God said to do that. But the world and the news. And I don't know, but the Bible. But the Bible says. Bible says. And so we still know that God is. And he says, I will be exalted. So just wait and see. He's going to be exalted. In the nations, and then, wait, you know, I got this. And he tells us a little secret, you know. He tells a little secret. I knew this way before it happened. I knew it was going to happen. See, he tells us in Psalms, and Psalms was written at least 500 years before Christ. At least. Some longer. Some longer. So they did. He took care of that 2,500 years ago. He said, it's just happening again. I've seen this show before. I know what's happening. Now you pay attention to what I'm telling you. Pay attention. Be still and know that I am God. He is a very present help in trouble. Don't be afraid. That's what he says. That's what he says. I mean, he just clearly says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Now, here, it's very interesting. You look at this. The exhortation to be still calls people to stop doing one thing in favor of another thing. Be still. Stop running around with your hair on fire and be still. Stop. Do. So he's telling you to stop one thing in favor of something else. And this directly relates to the first two verses. It says, therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way and the mountains are moved in the heart of the sea. Listen, what we're going through now is not as bad as that. That's worse. And then we're not supposed to be afraid. So he's telling us something here. The whole world is falling apart, and instead of choosing fear, the people of God distinguish themselves. In my notes here, I have distinguished themselves, in quotes, in red, underlined. Okay? So, what we have is the world's falling apart. Instead of choosing fear, We, the church, believers, distinguish ourselves because our actions are, be still and know that I am God. No chaos there. There's no fear there. You know, no fear there. The knowledge of God includes a factual knowledge about Him. Lots of folks have that. Factual knowledge about Him. However, the life of faith takes this knowledge and lives it out, confident in God's sovereignty, rule, and His ultimate exaltation in the nations. Just live it out. We got the game plan. Past, future, we just live it out. And live it out. So God's instructions are clear. 3, be still. All right, be still. 2, and know. Be still and know. Know what? 3, that I'm God. Be still, know that I am God. Now, therefore, we have absolute confidence and security that God will be exalted among the nations and the earth. Now listen to this. The church, we are the powerful presence of God. Oh, I wish I could see God. I mean, he goes, Wallace, I'm here. I mean, if you don't see him, I mean, how's anybody else going to see him? You know, he indwells you. He indwells the body. You know, well, what great thing do I need to do? How about being still and know that I'm God? Okay, and then move forward. So what we have here, the church, we're the powerful presence of God. We are the guarantee against chaos. We are where the Holy Spirit, the waters of life, flow. I mean, this is what God thinks of us. That's what He thinks of us. Problem is, we don't think of ourselves that way. That's the way He thinks. Now, therefore, be still and listen. Be still and listen. Now, listen to this. As we listen and shut our ears to every sound around us, up there goes CNN and Fox and a lot of others. Okay? As we listen and shut our ears to every sound around us, there is a still small voice in the depths of our being that begins to speak. That still small voice of the Holy Spirit in our heart is God speaking directly to us. Amen? God is going, CNN's going, you're going to die tomorrow. Wallace, I got this. Fox is saying, everybody's crazy, but you're still going to die tomorrow. Wallace. You see what I'm saying? And God goes, oh, speak to me. God goes, golly, I am. I have been. You think I'm sitting up here doing nothing? I am. So as we shut out everything, that still small voice begins to speak. And that's the Holy Spirit in our hearts speaking directly to us. Now I ask you, how many believers have the Holy Spirit in them? You can raise your hands. All right. Okay. Yeah, I'm right. That's a Christian doctrine. Amen. Is your Holy Spirit mute? Is He mute? Did you get like a dumb Holy Spirit? God, I'm sorry if I said that. I mean, you got God, the Holy Spirit, in you. I don't hear nothing. Whose fault's that? You know. You say, I mean, I'm going to ask you, I have the Holy Spirit in me. I do. I know. Now, Linda, which has much more insight than that, she has the Holy Spirit in her. Is her Holy Spirit better than my Holy Spirit? No. Now, she listens better, but it's not any better. It's the same Holy Spirit. So what God is telling, I'm talking to you. Who are you listening to? Who are you listening to? That's the key. And then sometimes we can't hear just because of the noise. You ever been trying to do, you're talking friend, they come over to the house, you got three kids and they're screaming around the house. I can't hear nothing. Why, is the guy not talking loud enough? No, you got kids running around the house screaming. See? That's the issue. So what God is saying, you got the whole world around you screaming. And I'm telling you, no. Be still and know that I'm God. And I will, and I will. Amen? I mean, it's powerful. It really is powerful here. So what we have is God speaking to us, and the living God himself, self, who leads the army of God, is living within us. He goes, okay, I'm coming. Huh? See, no, you listen. Oh, really? Okay. Okay. See? And the God who leads this army of God, he is the substance of all knowledge and power. CNN is not the substance and knowledge of anything. Fox is not the substance and knowledge of anything. Most political leaders are not the substance and knowledge of anything. They're not. They're just not. See? But God is the substance and knowledge of everything, and he is the power, and he just told us something. He just told us something. God, you just don't agree with CNN. You just don't agree. You're not watching enough television. God, you don't got this thing put together. You know, he said, and he said, look, this is a repeat. You know, this is not even the first time. You see what I'm saying? So we have this picture. So we have this picture now, and we think it's all over. Now, that's in Psalms 46, not that long. Kind of powerful, but it's not that long. So you think, oh, well, that'd be a good place to quit. Wouldn't it? I mean, that'd be a great place to quit. Be still. Know that I'm God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. But then he goes to the verse. In fact, he repeats the verse. In Psalms 46:11, he ends it with this. The Lord of the hosts is with us. Just want to remind you, because you don't really believe me, so I'm going to say it again. The Lord of hosts is with you. Be still, don't be afraid, because as God is for us, he's with us. He is for and with the church. He is for and with the church. I want you to let that sink down deep into your soul. He is for and with the church. I want God to come and I want him to move and I want him to see his presence. Where is he going to move? Oh, he's just going to come and he's going to settle over the White House and he's going to show himself and there's going to be a big cloud and the cross above it. No, never happened. Never happened. Never happened. I had Tony Campolo. He's an interesting preacher, Baptist preacher, and fascinating to listen to. But he said something to me, really made me laugh. He said, you know, we think that what we want to do is that ever get behind and we want to get good politicians and we want to get them in places of position. Now, this is Tony Campolo said this. They put them in places of position and then they'll carry their character into those places of positions and then God will use them in high places of, you know, their position and then they'll change the world. And he goes, I wonder why Jesus didn't think of that. Why didn't Jesus think of that? I mean, here he comes, born in the stable. I mean, he never went from the center of where he was. He never went over 150 miles. Never wrote a book. You know, what? Because he's doing something else. He's doing something else. So, but we're trying to enhance what he's doing, you know. So we got to watch CNN and Fox so we know what's happening. If we read the Bible, we know exactly what's happening. We know exactly what to do. And you know what? And I'd hate to be in the positions of some of these world leaders because God says, I will be exalted. I will. See, I will. So here you have the picture. It said, the God of the army is with us and for us. That's how this thing ends. So the reason we do not fear is because God is a very present help. with the power of God, we proclaim, here it is, we go back to the basics. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish and have eternal life. And that's what the world rotates on. And it's a church's responsibility to communicate that. Ah, but it's not essential. Now, so we have the message. I mean, not always. Just think this. We'll face the world like this. Oh, what to do? What do I need to do? It's like, well, be still. Know that I am God. And then you have a basic message. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, whoever believed in him, not perish and have eternal life. Period. Did you know, I don't care what's your intelligence, I don't care what your education level, I don't care how old you are, I don't care what you know, anything. If you know this, you go to heaven. That's it. Do you just know this? I mean, it makes me feel good because there's going to be a lot of dumb people in heaven. I mean, it's just like, they just know this. I said, okay, I give them a high five. I got here the same way. You know, high five. It really is. See, because that's all you need to know. And then what happens is the Holy Spirit indwells you. God indwells you. Now, how much does God know? See, all of a sudden, you just got real smart by just trusting in Christ. And he starts speaking to you and telling you what to do day by day. And he works his power through you because you listen to him. Amen? So it's really a powerful place to be. And so I look back at this and I think, oh my gosh. Looking at it from God's point of view, man, God's doing something. God is doing something, and I want to be a part of it. And to be a part of it, I need to be still and know that he is God. Because he's going to be exalted. He's going to be exalted. And he's got this. He's got this. I mean, that should be great peace, just knowing he's got this. He's got this. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word, and you know, thinking, had a little fun with some of it, Lord, and just trying to make some points, but Lord, in all seriousness, we do look at your word, and your word is God breathed. You breathed out Psalm 46. You just breathed it out. That was your message, and your voice, your message, and what you breathed out created the earth. And you say when Jesus comes back, he's going to deal with all the nations by the word of his mouth. He just breathes it out. And so, Lord, when we receive your breathed out word, we're receiving all the power of the universe, Lord, that you're doing a mighty work. Lord, we want to hear, and we want to hear individually. We thank you for your church. We thank you that your church is your light here on this earth. We thank you that the church is the guarantee against chaos. We thank you that the church makes things right. We thank you that the answers of life are within the church. We thank you for that, God. We thank you. And most of all, Lord, we thank you for that moment in time when we look to you and we say, oh, I believe in you. You've forgiven my sins. And I believe in you that I am cleansed by your blood. And we went from darkness to light. Thank you, Lord. A little child can understand that. A little child can understand that. Have eternity with you. So, God, we give thanks to you. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, we are going to wrap up with that. And I think Roseanne has some coffee.